Hello, this is David Ellis, editor of Health Futures Digest. We digest so you don't get indigestion. You can access this podcast and the written version of it at hfd.dmc.org. In last month's issue, we provided specific examples of stem cell therapies under development and in clinical trials. The emergence of such therapies shows why there is a gold rush of research and venture capital into regenerative medicine territory, as we discussed in the April issue. This month, we digest exemplary advances made over the past 18 months in an even more extraordinary potential form of regenerative medicine. We're talking about regeneration itself, as practiced by salamanders, zebrafish, and even human fetuses. When they lose a limb, salamanders regenerate the bones, muscle, skin, blood vessels, and nerves of a new one, practically indistinguishable from the lost one. The tissues are generated from a blastema, that's a mass of cells that forms at the site of an injury. Blastemas were thought to contain pluripotent stem cells, that is, cells able to turn into almost any other type of adult cell. But it was discovered last year that the stem cells, in fact, are unipotent cells. They regenerate only cells of the tissue that they came from. So a muscle stem cell in the blastema creates adult muscle cells in the regenerated limb. A bone stem cell creates only adult bone cells, and so on. This finding is significant because, since we also have progenitor cells that replace different kinds of tissue, getting our cells to regenerate like a salamander's might be easier than was supposed. But it still begs the question, why don't we regenerate like they do? Perhaps we do, though to a much lesser extent. A form of white blood cell called a macrophage responds to kidney tissue injury by producing a protein called WNT7b, known to be important to the formation of kidney tissues during embryonic organ development. In a mouse study, the protein helped initiate tissue repair and regeneration in injured kidneys. The same molecular pathway may be applicable to tissue regeneration and repair in other organs. As we delve deeper into the molecular mechanics of cells, the answer will become clearer. Late last year, the cellular pathway that paves the way for limb regeneration in zebrafish was discovered. It works by switching on genes that are switched off during embryonic development. This discovery should help explain why certain animals can do it and we can't. Certain genes have a hand in the regeneration of damaged fin, heart, retinal, and other tissues in the zebrafish, suggesting that the regeneration process is guided by a common molecular mechanism involving not just one, but multiple genes working together. However, in March this year, the Wistar Institute discovered that a single gene called P21 appears by its absence or its inactivity to control regeneration in mammals. We reported in November 2005 on the Institute's serendipitous discovery in 1996 of mammalian regeneration in a strain of experimental mice. Well, it turns out that what gave them the power to regenerate was their lack of the P21 gene. The Wistar researchers hope that one day we'll be able to accelerate healing in humans by temporarily inactivating the P21 gene. In the meantime, we can tweak the limited regeneration capability we already have in order to produce therapies. Early last year, it was discovered in Sweden that heart muscle cells are constantly renewed throughout life. Although the rates decline as we get older, from 1% of cells replaced per year at age 25 to less than 0.5% at age 75. Over a normal lifespan, fewer than 50% of the heart's muscle cells are replaced. Therefore, if we could stimulate the process of heart cell renewal, we might have a new way to treat heart disease and replace damaged heart muscle. And, it turns out, we probably can. At about the same time as the Swedish discovery, it was found that a protein called neuregulin 1 added to a petri dish containing mature heart muscle cells taken from mice helped those cells to divide and multiply. In a follow-up in vivo test in mice with heart damage, 12 weeks of daily injections of the protein reduced the size of the enlarged hearts, which then were able to function significantly better. As a promising therapy, neuregulin 1 joins two others, periostin and fibroblast growth factor, both of which were also found to regenerate heart muscle cells, reduce scarring, and improve function. Speaking of reducing scars, by digesting scar tissue that blocks regrowth of nerves in damaged spinal cords, an improved enzyme therapy could facilitate recovery in SCI patients, spinal cord injury patients. The improvement enables the enzyme to remain active for weeks without needing continuous injection through implanted catheters and pumps, as is the case right now. Furthermore, it can be used in combination with sustained delivery of a protein growth factor that helps to support the survival and differentiation of neurons. In animal tests, the combination of these new therapies led to significant improvement in locomotor function. So although damaged or severed nerves can regenerate, they do so at only about 1 millimeter a day. And to get to the area that has lost function, let's think of the hand for example, they need the original nerve sheath to guide them to it. And they need to get there within about 3 months, otherwise the hand loses the capacity to function ever again. At a millimeter a day, as you can imagine, a nerve severed at the wrist might make it in time to save the hand, but a nerve severed at the shoulder would not make it in time. The solution is lab-grown nerves, engineered nerves. They don't transmit signals themselves, but do maintain the hand's viability while the body's own regenerating nerve, which uses the lab-grown nerve as a guide, creeps forward. The breakthrough in making the engineered nerves long enough was achieved by stretching them, growing them under tension. The result was growth at a speed almost 100 times faster than normal. In rats that had part of their leg nerves cut out, function was restored to the legs within 4 months using the engineered nerves. As of early this year, the longest nerve grown was approximately 10 centimeters. The stretching process has been shown to work with neurons taken from human organ donors as well. And a trial of the human-derived implants in patients with nerve injuries is anticipated sometime in the next 2 years. Those who think that the Human Genome Project, which started most of the advances we've talked about today, those who still think that the HGP has failed to deliver on its potential, we think, are flat wrong. Thank you for listening, and remember that Associate Editor Julian Bond and I digest so you don't get indigestion. As always, we'd be delighted to hear from you. You can find our email or post a comment on our website at hfd.dmc.org.